The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you once again for the day. These opening lines that St. Paul mentioned to the Romans here in our first reading, some of the most comforting I've ever read. If you're ever looking to help someone who is suffering badly, make a mental note of Romans 8:18. "Brothers and sisters," St. Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us." Sufferings of the present time are as nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Very bold of St. Paul to say that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing, isn't it? Very bold. To anyone who's ever lost a loved one, to anyone who's ever been the victim of a violent crime, to anyone who's ever felt the full blast of the cold malice of human evil, to call that nothing, it's unimaginable. It's very, very real indeed, isn't it? To call it nothing is unimaginable. Paul's whole point now for you is that God's glory is what's unimaginable. The full measure of the magnificence of who God is has not yet been revealed to us or to the world, but Paul has seen it. And that's what he wants to share with you. And he wants you to know, you can imagine any sufferings, any evils. I mean, just if you can wrap your mind around this, abortion or nuclear war or the full blast of the evils, school shootings, drug abuse, all the evils are compared with the glory and the greatness of God. There's no equivalence whatsoever. There is no comparison. They're minuscule to the point of being invisible. Can you get your mind around that? Paul's seen it, and you're going to see it too. And he wants you to know how you're going to see it. The yearnings that are in your heart for justice, for well-being in the world, and as we know in ourselves, that we can be who we know we were created to be. God has every intention of fulfilling that. And those very yearnings are like promises in anticipation that he's going to do so. This is what Paul means when he says that these yearnings are like first fruits of the Spirit within our hearts. You know what first fruits were? First fruits were a Jewish ceremony in the springtime in the temple. And what they'd do is they would take the little baby stalks of wheat that had just begun to grow, and they'd cut some of them, take them to the temple, offer them to the Lord in thanksgiving for what God had begun, and in knowledge and in gratitude for what they knew God was about to do. So when you feel in your heart those yearnings, that groaning that St. Paul talks about here, for wrongs to be set right, for God to be known and loved, for creation to be the way it's meant to be. Understand, God put those yearnings in your heart because he has every intention of fulfilling them. This is hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's not presumption. It's a knowledge of how God acts and a full confidence he's going to continue to act that way. And the only thing you and I have to do now is continue to do our part. To continue to persevere, and as St. Paul says here in the first reading, to wait with endurance. To do your little part might not seem like much. And indeed, it isn't very much. So here's Jesus in the gospel saying, it's like a mustard seed. It's like a little tiny pinch of wheat, a little tiny pinch of yeast in the wheat flour. Very little thing that makes a very, very great difference. This is how our good Lord has chosen to act. with our cooperation. And he needs that cooperation. He's chosen to work with that cooperation. He could have, for example, renewed the church without a Francis of Assisi. He could have served the poor without a Teresa of Calcutta. Heck, let's go the full distance. He could have skipped this whole world altogether and just had us all created in heaven, right? Skipped the whole mess of trouble. But he's chosen to work with us. And now all we have to do now, offer him our cooperation, offer him our perseverance and our endurance in faith. That's his great plan. His plan, his ways, his will, and his glory. Amen.